The word of the Lord from Acts chapter 16. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. You hear about Lydia around the church as we try to come up with somebody in the Bible that women are supposed to be happy that they can take after. Here's a good woman. As a matter of fact, I knew a mom in one of the parishes that I served who decided that she was going to name her daughter Lydia because in a baby book it said that the word Lydia meant nice. Well, I said, gee, that's a Greek word I don't know for nice. And I went off on my own and looked it up and didn't tell her this, but said, well, it actually means that she's a lutis, from the city of Lutis. And I don't know what that means, but I guess what really happened was that people who have named their children Lydia afterwards have named them after this beautiful, wonderful woman, and I mean that in the kind and nice sense, that you run into in the Bible. And so the name kind of follows who she was and her actions rather than simply the fact that she was a daughter of Eve or a daughter of Zion. We also sometimes, and I think rightly, say, well, this is the first convert that we hear of in all of Europe, and we like that because, you know, a lot of us have European heritage, and that means that our people were included in God's plan, and yes, indeed, we can trace it all the way back to Bible times that the gospel had gone to Europe, and people had responded, and Europeans have been Christians since the very beginning, and, you know, you don't get too far with that either. Although it's great for mission sermons and other things to be able to say it, it really doesn't get you anywhere. But this story is fascinating. First of all, you might remember this is in the middle of Paul's second missionary journey, and he wasn't even planning to go there. But he had this vision of a man who said, "Come to Macedonia and preach the word of God to us, help us." And so Paul went to Macedonia, and that's where all of this eventually unfolded. They got to the city, a Roman colony. Points that out because that means, hey, there's civilization there. There's a big culture here. It's a major city. It's a major area. And they didn't recognize anything, and they went to a place that they believed was going to be a place of prayer. Now, here's another interesting point, because that in nomizoin there, that word that we supposed, they weren't even sure where they were going to find any Christians there in the city. There are any Jews there in the city. So they went to the river because they'd heard that people were praying there. It was purportedly a place of prayer. And when they got there, I'm sure that they were somewhat disappointed that all they found was a group of women. And it doesn't really mean something bad about the women. It just means that, remember, all the services were supposed to be led by men. All the prayers were supposed to be led by men. And you've got a couple of women sitting down by the river, gathered there to pray, and there's nobody there to do it. I'm sure they did it themselves. I'm sure that they weren't left out. But this was not a rigorous culture. And why had God sent St. Paul, perhaps the most successful missionary in the history of the world, why did God send somebody as great as St. Paul to a place where they didn't already have people, where they didn't already have a gathering? You would think that Paul would go in and he'd sweep in and he'd start building up the church into what it should be after God had already gathered all the people, after the Holy Spirit had gathered all the people. And what's he got? He's effectively got one woman who gets convinced by Paul out of the gathering of a couple of women that were there. Who knows? Maybe they had to go back to work or whatever. They're sellers of purple. Who knows what they did? But none of this seems to make any logical sense, at least from a logistical point of view. Certainly you can make a better use of an apostle than that. Send him off and there's nobody there. But I mean, how many times have we thought that? I remember going to my first congregation 5 miles outside a town of 1,100. It said on my call documents that I was going to be leading this congregation that had 100 people in worship, and it had about 125 or 130 people on the books. I can't remember the exact number. And I thought, wow, look at most of the people go to church. This must be the only congregation in the Missouri Synod where just about everybody goes to church. And it's over 100 years old, and it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place out in the middle of the country where all these people have held to the faith. And I got there, and for my installation, there were about 20 people. And I said, was there something going on that most of the people couldn't make it? And one of the three men who were elders in the congregation said, no, this is everybody. I thought, oh, no. Why did the Lord send me to a place with 20 people? And I was walking out of there with a very godly uncle that I have, and he put his arm around me and he said, I hope the church has a way of paying you. Godly advice. I found out how true that was when I got my paycheck and they said, you can't cash this. So when will I be able to? Well, we'll let you know. I thought, oh my goodness. And kind of arrogantly, I said, what a waste of a pastor. They should combine congregations or something. Get a bunch of people together. What I failed to realize sometimes as I come to a lesson like this, is that the Lord is the one who paves that road, who made that path. God had sent Paul to Lydia that day. And not just to Lydia, but to her entire household and all that would come thereafter. It's kind of fascinating how he does this, because Paul goes outside the city. He's sitting there talking to the women. Lydia decides she needs to get baptized. She's sitting next to a river. Isn't that a great place to get baptized? But she doesn't get baptized there. Instead, she takes him back to his house, or to her house. And she gets baptized there, because her family needs it too. You see, we sometimes get it messed up, because we're really into numbers. I'm about to go to the National Youth Gathering. I've told people for a couple of months now that I finally got my dream, because I get to help lead the final service and listen to President Harrison preach, and it's going to be a fantastic event on an NFL football field. The Minnesota Vikings play there, and I said, here's my dream. I'm going to be in front of a full stadium on a football field, and I sure hope they cheer. I said that to my son, who said, well, Dad, when you were dreaming about being on an NFL football field with a full stadium of people, did you think you'd be in a dress? And all. I guess it didn't turn out the way that I had thought. But, you know, we get into the big numbers. We get captivated by things that look like earthly success, and we forget the point. The point is that this is a household that God has sent Paul to. And not just a household, but a family. And not just a family, but his family. The family for whom he died. The family for whom he was incarnate. The family for whom he had called Paul. Lydia was a daughter in his family. And her children were daughters and sons. And her husband, if she had one, was a son of God. And it was worth taking the most important man in the world and sending him somewhere other than where he had planned to go, across rough and stormy seas, in through the Greek islands, wandering around back and forth through places that he hadn't been to, that Luke has to describe to the readers as being an important place because they had never been there and they had probably never heard of it. Because one of the merchant women in that town was his daughter. And the father's kids were getting baptized that day. And Paul was going to have to come to them to do it. Because the father loved that child, Lydia. There are a lot of strange ways that you got to be where you are today, too. Interestingly enough, that congregation of initially 20 or so that I served had a similar thing. We had this young mom who came, and she was a visitor, and she got so taken by the Word of God and so rejoiced over it that she brought her entire family to be baptized. And then she brought her brother and her sister-in-law, and then she brought her mom and her dad, and they were all baptized. And suddenly, this was the beginning of a growing congregation. We had one new family, and the word around town was, "This church is growing like crazy." And it was. But it wasn't growing like crazy because there was random, unconsidered growth. It was because the father loved his children and he sent somebody there to tell them about his love, to baptize them into the family, to feed them the family meal and teach them the family songs, to learn the history of their people. A history they had never heard or known. They and their whole family, their whole household. How often the Bible uses family terms. How often God does, calling himself Father, Son. In my Father's house are many rooms. You are part of that family. As the Word has sent pastors and teachers and friends and families to speak that Word to you, they've come across seas, they've come across oceans to make sure that that Word was planted where you would hear it. Because from time immemorial and before there was time, the Father saw you, his child, and wanted that Word to come to you. Wanted salvation to be known by you. Wanted that hope to be embraced by you. In Jesus' name, amen.